those that are beginning to come in. You know, we sing about the Lord of the breakthrough, and we believe in the Lord of the breakthrough. But I have come to find out that there is no supernatural breakthrough if we don't put an effort. Not that we are going to make our effort the essential thing of a breakthrough, because that's God's mercy towards us. But if you think about every miracle that Jesus did while on earth and the apostles when they ministered, there was always something the recipient had to do to receive fully. Some had to stand, some had to leap, some had to stretch out, some had to call out on the Lord, some had to declare. And God's grace is sufficient for all of us. But you know, the part of God's gift, it's in two stages. He gives out, and then we receive. And God is always giving. He never holds back. And so we have to have the mindset of receiving. Again, there is no breakthrough without an effort on our part. We need to come, you know, and I appreciate you coming every Sunday and Wednesday, those of you who come. But realize you're investing time with the Lord, and it's not just your presence. You need to come expecting God to do something in your behalf and in behalf of those that come. So, as we come together, be expecting. We don't come here religiously because that's a thing to do on Sunday. We have done past that point already. We know that God is real and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so, expectancy is something that we have to learn to walk in, expecting, and not the bad things. We're very good at expecting bad things. That's why we put our seat belts, that's why, you know, all kind of things. When we come to this house, or any house of the Lord, we need to come expecting God to move. If not in anybody else's behalf, in my behalf. I come here, I come to give to Him, and I come to receive from Him. We have been teaching on forgiving. And if you have a need to forgive and you're struggling with it, then go back this week and listen to parts 1 and 2 that have already been taught. Go to our website. Spend some time. You see, for you to receive a harvest, you have to do a planting. Or somebody has to in your behalf. You need to cultivate soil. You need to plant the seed. And then you need to water and weed it. And then continue watching until that harvest comes and you can enjoy the harvest. So go back this week if you're struggling with unforgiveness. Listen to parts 1 and 2 of our website. Write down the scripture references and read those chapters several times. You see, it is the word. Jesus said, it is the words that give life. The word through the Holy Spirit will bring life in you. It will transform you. What I believe is of no consequence to you. It is what you believe of what the Lord has already said. that makes a difference in your life. So write down those scriptures. Read the chapters where that scripture is found so that you get the full context. And then ask the Lord to reveal, what areas am I missing that I can't just forgive this area of my life? And then ask the Lord to give you understanding and to reveal what are the things that you need to forgive and release. All right, that was for somebody. We have been talking about forgiveness. The last time we mentioned that our fellowship with God is not right until our fellowship with others is made right as well. And we looked at Matthew 5. So God is telling us that if we are going to praise and worship the Lord, then we first have to make it right with my brother and my sister in order for me to have an honest and truthful worship. We also look at Matthew 6:12, where we read that we ask the Lord in prayer to forgive us as we forgive others. And usually when we struggle with God's forgiveness towards us, it's usually connected to our unforgiveness on our part towards somebody else. You see, the cross is made up of two beams. One straight down, God and us. And then the other one side to side, connecting us with our brother and our sister. And both have to be corrected as well as we can correct them. Whatever our part is, we need to walk in forgiveness so that God can receive the full intent of our worship towards Him. We looked at the Lord's Prayer, and we saw that the Lord's Prayer is intended for believers because it starts saying, "Our Father." So we are acknowledging that we belong to Him. He's our dad and we are His children. Now, Jesus is not saying here that we will lose our salvation until we're willing to extend forgiveness to others. No, that's not what it's saying. Salvation, once you receive it, is forever. That's the character of our God. But once your sins have been forgiven and you become a child of God, then you need daily ongoing cleansing and forgiveness in order to maintain an open fellowship. We're not talking salvation, we're talking about fellowship. You can be part of a family, you can have the last name of your family, and you may not have any relationship. You will always be a son and a daughter, but you may or may not enjoy fellowship with that family you belong to. And so, forgiveness allows us to not only belong, but to have fellowship. We also mentioned the fact that the Lord's Prayer implies that we are all debtors. We have all sinned against somebody else. And we have people that are indebted to us. People have sinned against us. So we all need to be forgiven because we have failed, and we are in need to forgive others because others have failed us as well. So it goes both ways. And so continuing with this subject, I'm going to read here of a story of a saint who went through what we all in some way have gone through at one point or another. I want you to listen and see if you can relate. One time in college, I stayed in the parking lot of a beautiful vacation spot just to make a point. A small offense happened with my friends on the drive up. When we got to our destination, they all piled out of the car, skipped through the entry, and spent hours playing fun games on the beach, jumping in the refreshing cool waves, eating a picnic lunch, and making incredible memories together. All the while, I walked around the parking lot with vigilant strides in the sweltering heat, letting my anger intensify with every passing hour. I relished the idea of teaching my friends a lesson by staging this solo protest. But in the end, I was the only one affected by it. I was the only one who missed out. I was the only one who stayed hungry. I was the only one whose wrong actions were talked about that day. And then I was the only one who rode home in silence, knowing no one had been punished by my choices except me. The soldiers of unforgiveness whooped and hollered at their victory that day, and I was just another lonely soul crying herself to sleep, feeling embarrassed and defeated. And the only memory I made that day was a sour one. That was a silly day with a pretty insignificant offense that kept me all bent out of shape. Please know, I want to acknowledge and absolutely recognize that much of the pain you and I have been through is way more serious and complicated and devastating than that day in the beach. But that parking lot is such a good visual of what holding on to offenses does to us, and where the cruel soldiers of unforgiveness will always lead us in isolation, will always lead us to the emotional darkness of broken relationships, will always lead us to spiritual darkness with heaped on shame, and to a darkened outlook where we are unable to see the beauty that awaits just beyond the parking lot. That was a testimony of a woman that found what it is to forgive. I thought that example was very relatable. I want to bring a few points about forgiveness, beside the ones I brought already. Number one, forgiveness does not depend on fairness. And it doesn't depend on feelings. We don't separate the fair versus the unfair. It doesn't matter whether we feel like forgiving or not feel like forgiving. The commandment of God is plain. Second, forgiveness has no exceptions in the word. You know that God hates divorce. And yet, with as much as he hates divorce, he allowed one way out. But with forgiveness, there is no exception. No exception for forgiveness in the written word. Number three, we cannot always start forgiving from the heart. Sometimes the pain is so difficult. The hurt has been so deep that we can't start forgiving from the heart. But we can begin by doing, by being obedient to what the Lord says and making a decision to forgive. See, that doesn't depend on emotion. The will is designed to override emotions anytime you decide to take a stand on it. So you don't need to start forgiving from the heart. You can start making a decision I am going to forgive because that's what God calls me to. Fourthly, forgiveness needs to take place as long as there remains within us any aspect of hate, bitterness, resentment, blame, or even a desire for vengeance or of punishment towards another person. If you experience any of those, then there's a need to forgive. There are a few misconceptions about forgiveness that I want to bring out to clarify some things. One of the misconceptions that many people have is they think that once they release the offender, then their pain will leave their heart. No. We need God to come and heal our hearts. God is a healer. He'll heal our hearts, and he will take away the pain in the process. But it's always a process. And some processes take longer than others. We're unique people with unique character traits, and so many of us respond at different rates to different things. So don't think that just because you release the offender, your pain will leave. That's a process, and it'll take time as you work at it. If it is a generational sin pattern, usually the curse has to be broken. And if it's not broken, the enemy will find a way to create the same type of hurt to repeat in your life again. If you have repeated pain occurring in your life, you may want to ask the Holy Spirit if there's a generational sin or curse that needs to be broken in your life, in your lineage. And the Bible speaks of generational sins. In fact, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, he talked about that he is a God of grace, that, you know, blesses 1,000 generations of those that love him. But then the sins of the father will come down on the children to the third and fourth generation. And so we have to consider not only what we have done, but who do we come from. You know, we receive a state of our spirit out of our descendancy from Adam. That goes way back there. How much more readily the effects of the sins of our forefathers, our father, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents. They don't determine our walk, but they surely influence. And it gives legal ground for the enemy to harass us. And we don't need that extra harassment. The world as it is bad enough. So don't think that just because you released your offender, your pain is going to leave immediately. This is a process. Secondly, I talk about making a decision. Forgiveness is not just a decision. You don't say, I decide and it's done. I don't have to worry about that. No, a wounded person usually has to go through a process of forgiveness so that it comes down to the heart where you are able to release them from your innermost being. And it starts first in acknowledging. Some people say, I'm not offended. And inside they are brewing. You have to own it. Yes. I don't want to forgive you. I mean, in fact, I hate you at this moment. You have to own that. You have to own your feelings. You have to own what's in your heart regarding that person that offended you. Second, you have to consider the impact of the hurt on your heart. Was it something light, or was it something really, really cruel and deep that cut you to the core? You know, some of us have what they call dog feathers, and they can insult us and we just laugh about it. Other of us have chicken feathers, and you wet a chicken, it'll drown. Duck, it'll just, you can just, like a baseball, you sink it underwater and pops like a right up. Let's play. A chicken won't pop up. He'll drown. And some of us are like that. We get offended, and if somebody's not there to rescue us, we drown. And some of you may be there at this point. So we have to acknowledge the fact that we have unforgiveness, and then we have to look at the impact, the full impact of how their actions, their words, whatever they did, how much it hurt us. And we have to revisit those. We have to thoroughly work through those painful memories. You know, just like surgery, there has to be a cut made. And you have to go in there. And you know, without the surgery, you are hurting already. And now you're going to cut and splint my skin over. It has to be done one more time. And many times we don't want to visit that hurt again. We just want to forget it, bury it there. And you know what happens when we don't take care of a tumor that is inside of us? It'll keep festering until it kills us. So our scalpel has to make an incision, open up so that all of that can be dug out and then close back again. So we have to go back to those memories. We have to relive them one more time so that we can own them. And then, and only then, with God's grace, as He helped us with His portion of grace, then we can reach a place of forgiveness. So we're talking about a process. Now, the last thing I want to talk to you today, maybe, is there, we have some hindrances in forgiving others, and I want to talk about them because I know that we all wrestle with these. The first hindrance that we have in forgiving others is we're ignorant of Scripture. Many of you didn't know that unforgiveness is a given. There's no way out. You have to forgive if you want to please God. There is no way out. Remember, He told His disciples, they will know that you are my followers because you have love one for another. Well, if there's unforgiveness, there's no love. So, unforgiveness may have been modeled constantly in our past. I mean, people may have grown up in an environment where there was always unforgiveness and shoving it under the carpet, and that elephant grew bigger and bigger all the time and nobody dealt with it. And you grow up in that environment and that's what you know and that's what you do. That seems normal. Why wouldn't I respond otherwise if this is what I was raised with? Somebody hurts me, I hurt them back, or I make them punish. I punish them somehow. We may need someone to explain the Scriptures to us so that we can have an understanding of what the Scripture says regarding forgiveness. And then once we know, then we have at least a point of knowledge and understanding so that we can make a decision. Do I want to forgive or not? But you do it wisely. In other words, with understanding. You're not just following somebody that said, you have to. Well, why? Scripture says. So ignorance of the scripture is one hindrance. Second, many people feel, I just don't feel it. I can't feel that. The pain was too great for me to feel like forgiving them. Well, forgiveness starts as an act of the will, not as an act of the emotions. You choose to. It's not that you feel like. If we would go by what we feel, there'll be a lot of dead people around here. Because we want to kill somebody sometimes. So it's an act of the will. You know that this is what God requires, and He has given me what it takes for me to will forgiveness. I choose to forgive. And you know what happens? After you choose to forgive, eventually the feelings will follow that decision if you stay with it. Thirdly, it's just too big. The offense was so great, I don't see how I can forgive it. Like we said, forgiveness takes time, and it requires God's grace. You can't do it on your own. We don't have what it takes to forgive. We're people of revenge. We like to get even in the natural. And though God's character lives inside of us, we don't want to submit to it. We want to punish them. No, we need His strength. We can't do it on our own strength. And many times that's what we're going to do. You know, just like I decided to lose 25 pounds, I choose to forgive this person. And you got rid of 12 pounds and you quit. Seems too hard. So that person is still unforgiven. Fourthly, some people fear forgiveness or don't like it because they equate forgiveness with excusing or ignoring the offense. See, when we follow the scriptures and follow what God has told us to forgive, we choose to forgive, we're not saying that the offender is okay. Forgiving does not negate holding the offender responsible. They did it. You didn't do it. They did. They are responsible. But the issue is, vengeance belongs to the Lord, not to you and me. Some people feel that if they forgive, the situation will repeat again. Because they haven't been punished for it. Not only will it repeat, it'll get worse. So they feel a sort of a protective power when they don't forgive. That'll protect me. That's an ungodly belief that you have created within yourself, that you think it protects you, is actually killing you. Five. You know, we think that we made a decision to forgive and everybody and everything was forgiven and forgotten. Every circumstance that I got wounded, oh, I gave it to the Lord and it's forgiven. Really? I challenge you. If you're thinking that way, just this evening before you go to bed, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any unforgiveness from the past or the near present. And I recommend that you have a pen and a pencil, because it's going to get long. We don't always remember who or what we need to be forgiven. You know, we tend to bury it and try to forget it. And when least expected, it comes out like a big dragon trying to swallow us. That little baby that we buried becomes a full-grown demon. So we have to stay in an attitude of asking the Holy Spirit, am I offended? Am I holding bitterness or unforgiveness about something or someone, even circumstances? And number six, we think we have the power over the offender if we don't forgive. Sometimes we think, well, I'm going to cover me in defense by not forgiving. But then the sixth one is, I'm going to have power over my offender when I don't forgive him. He owes me, and I'm his master. Usually anger is involved when we feel like this. We feel this will help me not be a victim anymore. And God is telling us, you want power? Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. We talk about the power that we receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. See, this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us with. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit, not by unforgiveness. Remember, hurt people hurt people. We don't know where they are, but if they are like us, we have been hurt, we have hurts, and we react out of those hurts, and we hurt others. You know, this will not excuse them, but it will soften your heart so that you're not that critical about them. They fail just as we do, don't we? It's not just pity, it's compassion. And as we feel compassion for others because we've been there, we want the Holy Spirit to work in us, so we want the Holy Spirit to work in them. I don't have much to go, so you may as well endure a little more. It gives me 5 minutes. 5, 10, 15. Okay. When we choose to look and live through our woundedness, forgiveness can seem sometimes offensive, impossible, and even a quick way to compound the unfairness of being wronged by others. We tend to say, oh, I want blessing for those who follow the rules of life and love, but I want correction, punishment for those who broke them. Resentment makes us believe that the only way to get free from our pain is to make sure that those who cause it, that they hurt as bad as we did. That's a trap in disguise. It is a knife digging deeper and deeper in us, keeping us tortured and paralyzing us to where we can't go forward, because we're stuck there with that knife. There are toxic gas that, instead of keeping away those who shouldn't be trusted, it just chokes the life out of everyone that comes near to us, because we just blast them. Have you met one person that you have resented? You know, you have an odd against your brother for whatever reason. Either you offended or they offended, but you are resenting them. And for one of the circumstances of life, they show up in front of you. What happens to you? What is your normal reaction? You're paralyzed. You don't know what to do. they're prisoner, really. You're a prisoner of your own forgiveness. And you want to kill them, but you know you shouldn't. And you want to run away, but you don't want to give them that satisfaction. Bottom line is, forgiveness is not just an act of my own determination. Forgiveness is only made possible by my cooperation with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I don't have what it takes to forgive, but that's why Christ came, to show us and then die in our behalf. Leaning into what Jesus has already done allows grace for me. And then as I see the grace of God towards me, because he forgave me of so many things, then the grace of God can flow through me to those who offend me. Ephesians 4:7 says, but to each one of us grace was given. Actually, it is still being given, according to the measure of Christ's gift. He became a gift for us, and he gives us grace whenever we need it. But again, remember that a gift requires two things: the giver to give it out, and then the receiver to acquire it. Christ has given it, and he's continually giving. Are we receiving? Don't confuse redemption with reconciliation. Reconciliation requires two people who are willing to do a hard work of working out things to come back together in the relationship that they had before. Redemption requires you and God. So what I'm saying is, when you forgive, the relationship may not be fully restored, but that's okay. Your heart was clear with God. And you try to reach out to reconcile the relationship, but like it says, it takes two. If the other person is not willing to reconcile, then you've done your part. Make sure you've done your part. When you give up the right to the man that the one who hurt you pay back, or when you give up the right to make them suffer for what they have done to you, then you receive freedom to move on. Whether they want to move on or not, that's irrelevant. In this case, we're talking about you and me. Once we release them honestly from our heart, then we can move on with life. Otherwise, we're stuck. The less our pain consumes us, the less that pain will control us. The initial outcome of pain will continually change by taking the steps of forgiveness and experiencing the freedom that it brings as we continue this process. Forgiveness is the key in the kingdom of heaven to live an abundant life. And when I say the kingdom of heaven, I'm not speaking about when we make it to heaven. The kingdom of heaven has come. We're in the midst of it. It is the key of getting rid of the sins of our fathers and the generational curses in our ancestry. It is the key to get rid of our spirit and soul hurts from our past. Forgiveness is the key to getting rid of ungodly beliefs developed from our past experiences. And it is the key to get rid of the demonic oppression because of all of these things that we allow from these issues above. All of this leads to the healing and freedom that we're looking for. And it's available for you and for me to start the forgiving process. You don't want to be a prisoner. You want to be free. And those who the Son sets free they are free indeed. Father, I thank you for what you provided for us. Father, thank you that even in our what looks to us like hopeless and impossible, Lord, all things are possible for those of us who believe in what you have already said. I thank you that there is redemption. I thank you that there is forgiveness. Father, you have forgiven us and we have received your forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to forgive those and set them free. Actually, we set ourselves free from the bondage of unforgiveness. And Father, I thank you that we can enjoy life to the fullness when we walk in forgiveness as Christ modeled it to us. Father, I pray for everyone that has heard these words, Father, that we would begin to own areas of unforgiveness and begin to do something about them, Father, as you have called us. Continue to teach us, guide us, instruct us, and may your grace flow through us, in us, and out to those that offended us, Lord, that we may be able to release. And I thank you for your people. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're still struggling and you need prayer, we're here to help. God bless. Thank you for staying.